It's April 19th, 2018, and this is Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, James Jones, and I'm joined today by Mr. Greg Leahy.
Hoi hoi, everyone.
Mr. Guillaume Vaillette.
Hello.
And Mr. John Lindemann.
It's a pleasure to be here, James.
Thank you, John. So, this is episode... Uh-oh. Check my brain.
I got it, man. I got you. If you can't get it, I got your back, James.
This is episode 568,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, there you go. I had faith in you, man.
I did it. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I couldn't remember the episode title is we have been spending the last hour trying to figure out what the hell we're going to do for this episode.
Yeah, it's one of the rare occasions when we don't really have an episode. We just kind of all stand here looking at each other for an hour.
Pretty much.
Or virtually, most episodes. Of course.
It's because new business, we're all pretty light. I think Guillaume had an update he wanted to give.
Yeah, sure. I haven't finished Rhyme, but I just want to tell people that not to, you know, be scared off by the poor performance on the Switch. It hasn't been that detrimental. And if you've got no other console to play it on, like me, then, you know, it's still a good choice. It's still a good-looking game. But I understand that some of the point of the game is kind of the grandiose, like, I don't know, like the visuals and when you hit a kind of a frame rate dip, it does affect your enjoyment, you know, so I get that. But at the same time, like, it's not like the frame rate dips will kill you when, you know, they're not super frustrating. It's just that sometimes, you know, you're gawking at the art, at the world of the game, and then, you know, it takes you out of it a little bit. But it's still a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying it a lot, despite, you know, not being a fan of the game that inspired it.
Fair enough. And then we kind of ran out of new business after that.
Yeah, that's about it.
Greg wants to talk about Sega Ages, and maybe we'll do that in a little bit. We've kind of leaned into email, mm-hmm. because...
and
because...
then lead right back out. Yeah. We're like, Jesus Christ, it's in there.
We made the call of like, all right, what's our inbox look like? And it's actually been kind of empty. So please, if you've got questions, send them to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. If you sent us a question a little while ago and we missed it, we do have a lot of stuff in the email, but... you know, it's easy for us to miss things, but right now, backlog's a little dry. So send us your questions to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
MASB, do not send us scripts to your fucking plays.
Well, yeah, and also, you know,
We
just put the call out for emails on Twitter.
Yes.
Kind of calling an audible on that one. And I have to thank everybody for taking advantage of us by sending us the worst questions ever. Like, does Mario fornicate? Thanks, sweet. We see you out there.
Why did you call it fornicate? I guarantee you we'll drop like 5 F-bombs by the end of the show.
We see you out there. I'm trying to keep it clean.
Don't want to give the satisfaction.
No, I'm not giving them the satisfaction. That's right.
And also, right. I can, you know, like, yeah, you've been reading Waypoint's Twitter game. I see you. Yeah, it's not our thing.
For the record, I think he does. All right? Just for the record.
Is it the stash, John? Is it the mustache? Is that what makes you think?
You know he's doing things without
John's
mustache.
Looking at the...
No, you're
going
to stop this right now. We're not quitting.
John's looking at
that.
The internet movie database page for Super Horny Old Brothers right now.
That's true. He's got like his own porn. He's got like the...
God,
you
damn
know,
it, Chris.
It's all...
He's got the DeviantArt stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, no!
For sure. You
but
know,
but has Miyamoto ever drawn, you know, erotic pictures of Mario?
I'm sure in his spare
time. I'm sparing you bastards hearing me talk about Yakuza again, and this is how you repay me?
I'm sure, you know, probably, you know, he got drunk on sake one night and just... You know, maybe he started making a little bit of blue material, and you know, who knows? There you go.
Are you dropping a he blew himself reference here? Is that
no,
we blue. Are we fucking quoting Arrested Development now? Is this where we're at? Oh my god. So anyway, mm-hmm. Our inbox, we put the call out on Twitter. You guys, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the attempt. So we were going to talk about, like, hey, the Switch Shop Discovery's got a real problem. And then we realized we talk about that all the time. That was us trying to find stuff on the eShop to look at and then finding stuff on the eShop to be stunned by. Because Skee Ball is now on the eShop. So we we also leaned out of that solution. And instead, okay, well, let's go back to the emails again. And so we got some emails, and then Greg, were you the one who suggested we return to the game, or was that Guillaume?
It was Guillaume.
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Guillaume reminded me that we haven't done 20 questions in a while. And so we're going to combine two segments into one for this avant-garde episode of Radio Free Nintendo. Mm-hmm. By combining emails with rounds of 20 questions. And I forgot the game I was going to do, so I have to remember what that was. But first, we're going to read an email. Guillaume, you said you have a 20 questions game, right?
I do.
Okay, would you read the first email? I did not post it in the chat, did I? I did. Yeah, I did.
The one I posted or that you posted?
I posted all the emails.
Okay. The Xenocide writes, in last week's episode, a joke was made about Detective Pikachu the movie, the video game. I was astounded that no one brought up the fact that this scenario is likely going to actually happen in the next couple of years. I'm speaking, of course, of Super Mario, the movie, the video game. As we all know, Nintendo has made a deal with Illumination Studios to make a Super Mario movie. Since Nintendo is first and foremost a video game company, a tie-in game seems inevitable. Do you think that Nintendo's typically strict standards on quality will result in a not terrible tie-in video game? Do you think Nintendo will introduce a game mechanic gimmick that will inform the movie or vice versa? In what ways do you think Nintendo will in what ways do you think Nintendo will Nintendo all over the situation? I am eager to hear everyone's
John was
thoughts
talking about earlier.
James Derision. Yeah. Huh. Well, I think that I don't know. I think that the Xenocide has touched on it, you know, himself or herself themselves. Nintendo is a video game company, so I think we can expect to have some sort of controllable Mario on the screen at all times when you're sitting down and seeing the movie. It just makes sense.
I thought they were just going to pause the movie like the Professor Layton, and then you just yell at the screen to jump.
Yeah, no, I think everyone in the audience just controls a minion, or I mean a Goomba or whatever, a toad. And
so don't say minions, we'll get sued.
It's Illumination
Studios.
Also
Illumination, though. It's true, yeah. You know what? No, you're right, crossover.
Yeah, and, yeah, it'll be kind of like Twitch plays Super Mario the movie.
Yeah. Oh, that would be amazing. Actually, that sounds better than the actual plans, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awful. That's so bad. Like, I don't think we'll actually get a tie-in video game for it, to be honest.
No, I mean, you would think they would try and line the timing up so that they've got Mario product ready to take advantage of any kind of mindshare windfall that this
but
movie...
But it's such an evergreen property for them that
yeah,
they could
that
just,
they
like...
Yeah, kind of, they generally have that a lot of the time anyway, so it's not exactly going out of their way. But in terms of right. something that would very directly tie in and, you know, with mechanics or concepts or... even character, like characters beyond the core cast or something. I kind of doubt it. But, you know, this is new territory for them, really. So yeah. It's difficult to just, you know, you kind of apply in, you know, your feelings based on their, you know, track records over the years. But, you know, that this is a new kind of prong to their strategy about how they manage their IP. And so we haven't really seen it play out yet.
One of the reasons why video game tie-ins, movie tie-ins suck usually is that the developer is not given enough time to make it. And I'm, you know, sometimes they have to wait for assets from the movie and stuff like that. In this case, I guess Nintendo does have an advantage in that they have the assets already, I would imagine, for Mario games at this point.
Right.
So that's not a problem, but, getting the timing right between the release of the movie and the release of the game might be tricky. Like, I'm just thinking of Ubisoft's you know, Assassin's Creed movie, which released in the one year where they didn't put out an Assassin's Creed game. Although after seeing the movie, that might have been on purpose. Maybe they thought like, well, we don't want that shit touching the actual video game series, you know, like. We don't want people to go to the theater and you know, get bored to tears and then not go buy our movie, our game. So
mm-hmm. the thing that makes me think they're not going to try to make a tie-in game is that we'll almost certainly have a 2D Mario on Switch by then. Just because it, I mean, literally, there should just be a count up going like, it's been 17 days since we last talked about a 2D Mario on Switch. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen relatively short order. Mario Maker sold a ton of copies. New Super Mario Brothers smells a ton of copies. They might be trying to come up with something more fresh than the new series. Something newer than the new series.
Yeah, they might run into like IP troubles if they go for Super Mario Movie Maker. they should run that somewhere, I think, first.
Yes. But they like there will be a 2D Mario game out before this movie, so they'll have on Switch.
Yeah, because I mean, have they already kind of shifted the timeline back on this movie project a bit from when they first kind of discussed it publicly?
Yeah. So they'll have Odyssey, which is a huge selling game, massively successful. They'll have a 2D Mario game that may or may not be a Maker, which will almost certainly sell a ton of copies. They'll have Mario Kart, which sold a ton of copies. They'll have Mario Tennis, whatever they're calling that game, Power Tour?
Aces. Power Tour already existed.
That's the GBA one. And they'll likely have some other Mario thing out by then. So there will be no shortage of Mario product on Switch. Mm-hmm. What I think you might see, though... is a redoubling of their efforts to salvage Super Mario Run.
And that salvage, like,
yeah, good point. Good point.
Like, maybe a relaunch of the game. Maybe a new Super Mario Run that has a different monetization strategy.
Yeah.
Super Mario Run the movie? Or Super Mario Run?
Or an add-on that's fucking hell. Or an add-on that features the scenario from the game more cleanly and features art from the game. The movie The Run. Yes.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, they mentioned, you know...
This is The Run of Super Mario, the movie The Run.
And then they should have, like, the, you know, at Universal Studios, they should have Super Mario, the movie, The Run, The Ride.
I think I've figured out now. You know that whole weird thing where they said that Mario was, like, younger than you thought he was? He was, like, in his 20s or whatever?
Yeah.
It's because Mario exists in a Logan's Run type situation. So if he was,
if
he was over 30, he would have been forced to go out into the wasteland to die.
Oh my God! Are we actually making reference to like Jesus Christ?
What's that? Do you like Michael York or whatever his name
is? Yeah, Michael York with an awesome Beatles haircut and like a really shitty Star Trek style uniform, and then running around in rooms that blow up with occasionally robots that are kind of scary to look at.
Yeah, it's been a while since I played Odyssey, but you got to try to find chapter art of Mario dressed up in like spandex or something, like whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking that, you know, instead of Nintendoing all over this, I mean, wouldn't making a game of the movie actually be Capcoming all over this?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to Capcom all over anything. Yeah, that's indecent.
I don't know.
Did they ever do that with Resident Evil, or did they just let it be?
No, the Resident Evil movies are their own thing.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't even think that they influence the canon of the games.
But maybe some Capcom learned their lesson with Street Fighter the movie, the game. Then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they,
what are you talking about? It's a masterpiece.
And there are like these two Japanese-made CGI movies, Regeneration and some other title.
Those are canon.
Right.
Because the thing is, Capcom's not really involved in those. They sold the rights to Sony to make these things, and Sony, being a terrible movie company that should be burned in a lake of fire, continues to make shitty movies. And which, by the way, are almost identical to the Underworld movies that they also make. Sony. Purveyors of the worst of cinema. Except for Transformers. They don't own that one yet. Somehow. So... I totally see them saying like, okay, we're gonna give Super Mario Run a boost. We're gonna change the monetization strategy somehow, and we're gonna put out content for Super Mario the movie, the run.
Yeah,
because they killed two objectives with one stone, and you know they just made some changes to Animal Crossing. A friend of mine walked me through everything there is to know about Pocket Camp to explain the context of the fortune cookies and how using leaf tokens to buy fortune cookies, which are essentially just gotcha.
Quote unquote friend.
Yeah. No, friend. This is an actual friend. This isn't this isn't myself.
I'm just saying no, but I'm saying also, are they really your friend after they walk you through that? Just think about it. It's not really a statement. It's just, I'm just
yes,
saying.
because she seemed to not want to do it as much as I was, like, concerned about how this conversation was going to go.
So. As long as everybody was uncomfortable, I'm okay with that.
Everybody knew what was happening. This was largely out of concern that we might get a gotcha an email about the gotcha mechanics being added to this game. Because this is something that Nintendo hasn't really done, unless you count, like, Badge Arcade. And so there was like, well, we might get an email going like, what the fuck's this? So I asked. Here we are. But we didn't get an email about it. We didn't get much any emails this week, which is why we're here right now.
This is
so, but they made a change to essentially what I read online and what I heard from her is that Leaf tokens, which are the premium currency, and this is the same in Fire Emblem Heroes. Is the premium currency is just given away constantly. And that's common in gacha games. They'll give you a little taste. Just a little taste.
Yep.
But Nintendo fucking just rains it down on you. Mm-hmm. I've never spent a dime in Fire Emblem Heroes, but I've done hundreds of draws at this point. Because they just give you premium currency all the time. And not like, oh, you get one for logging in today. It'll be like, oh, here's your one for logging in today. Here's 10 because we have a bonus event going on. Here's 50 because it's the anniversary of the game coming out. Here's 25 for participating in an event that happened this week. And you're like, wait, that's more than I can use in one time. And they're like, yeah. Oh, okay. Thanks. I logged in. I had to reinstall it on my phone because my SD card gave out that was installed on. So I hadn't logged in for a little bit. And I got like 75 premium currency items, orbs in Fire Emblem, just out of the gate. Well, nobody's spending money on Animal Crossing. Like, they've talked about how much money Fire Emblem Heroes makes. They don't want to talk about Animal Crossing because the premium currency is raining from the sky and there's not much to spend it on. Well, now there is. So I could see them making the same play on Super Mario Run. Like, look, Fire Emblem makes money. We gave up on Miitomo because it was stupid. But we need to get Animal Crossing, or we need to get Mario making some money. Because they seemed to feel uncomfortable that it didn't make more money. And it was kind of a black eye because they can't make money on mobile with Mario. But they made so much money on Pokemon. Again, this isn't about what's reality. This is about perception. Them finding a way to remonetize and relaunch that game and make money with it would make everyone feel a little bit more comfortable about their mobile division. Which is something they desperately need because their mobile division seems like it's a million games behind schedule at this point.
Well, I'm never coming in with that new business again. Let me tell you that.
Thanks, Guillaume. I'm trying to help here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. How did we get to mobile monetization?
Because the idea is that's how they might tie something in with the movie rather than with kind of core games business on the console on Switch.
Because they'll already have so many fucking games out for Mario.
Yeah,
at that point,
it's true. And already, there's a pretty formidable lineup. I mean, you could throw Mario and Rabbids in there.
That's true.
Right.
Although that's Ubisoft's, at least in the West, in terms of publishing.
Right.
He's already got plenty of very high quality games in the catalogue for Switch, and yeah, there'll be more. So I feel like the movie point is like, well, it's kind of, yeah, well, you've got a sort of a spotlight on Mario that isn't normally on him that kind of might bring him to mind to people who wouldn't normally kind of be thinking about Nintendo or whatever. Going the phone route makes sense to me.
Yeah, and you don't need new games for them. Like, you can.
No, not outright. No, I mean, obviously, I guess it feels more kind of meaningful and all that if it is very carefully tied in and synchronized and stuff, but it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I mean, there was no kind of direct tie in a lot of ways to, you know, the boost in sales for old Pokemon games when Go. Had that huge sort of launch. I mean, I'm not sure how much they were expecting that, or how much they kind of tried to feed it. It just happened because Pokemon was it got moved into the zeitgeist or whatever.
Yep. And so that was the goal, like just having Pokemon or having Mario product available, which there's shortage of that on Switch. Having one place where more casual fans might get it on the phone. you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, I think, you know, it will be kind of loose tie-in at most. But like I said, it's just, you know, it will be interesting to see how much they want to, you know, with this whole being kind of more permitting about how their IP is kind of spread about with films and whatnot. It'd be, how much do they want to kind of really control it with, you know, synchronized things and all this, or is it just, you know, they want to be careful about the partnerships and all that, get the right people, and then at that point they kind of leave them to their own devices?
I mean, it sounds like they're at least, I mean, granted, they're saying they're at least involved in this movie's production, much more so than they were last time. we've heard that, you know, like, Miyamoto is going to oversee the design of the Super Mario World theme park and stuff.
Yeah, apparently that's like a major part of what he's doing these days.
So I would assume that they're going to be just as careful with the film.
Yeah, but that's what I say. At the same time, though, I mean, if as time goes on, if these things are kind of successful and more of their properties are getting this sort of treatment,
right.
You've got to draw a line somewhere, haven't you? You can't be that involved with all this different stuff at once.
They still have a really tight rein on that stuff, though. Like all those, like Marvel and DC and all those kind of companies do. You know, they have their teams that. You know, basically police all that stuff with an iron fist. So,
yeah, I mean, that's, I think ultimately if they really need this, they just end up hiring people who specialize in it, more brand managers, more people to mm-hmm. who they can rely on to say, like, no, we know what is okay and what is not okay for Mario. I mean, Nintendo already has massive rule books about what's okay and not okay.
His nipples are this size. They're this size, right?
All
right,
you know what? We're gonna move on to the game part of our segment. Guillaume, so let's do a quick reminder of what 20 questions is. So basically, we, the guessing audience, take turns asking yes or no questions of the person who is thinking of a game. We set some really, really basic rules for the game. Has to come out on Nintendo system. Has to have got out of Japan. Like, that's it. Japan only games. Stuff for, like, the TG16 that didn't... You know, let's leave Virtual Console Wii stuff out. Let's just say it had to come out on Nintendo hardware. You know, that's the target. We will alternate asking one question until we guess it or we run out of questions. If you can't guess the name of the game, there's 20 questions.
We have not had a winner yet. We have not had somebody actually win. I think I got to 19, I think.
Yeah, we've not had anybody. Yes. He says win. We've not had somebody get through without being guessed.
Yes.
So, Guillaume, because you read the email, I'm going to let you start us off.
Sure.
All right. So, for question zero, who wants to go first? I will say we had a lot of luck in the past trying to figure out what system it was on first.
Yeah.
Is this a home console game?
Yes.
Okay. One.
Is it an NES game?
Yes.
Damn, John! You took the bait and you went right in and you got it. Good job. Because right. In the past, you're like, did this come out before certain years? Like, no.
Is taking the bait not supposed to be a bad thing usually?
It was a bad thing.
I can just... Oh, really?
Yeah, but it didn't matter. He still got out of the cheese.
Sometimes I must get the bait but not get on the hook. You know, it must happen statistically.
Yeah. So he got the worm. John got the worm.
But it makes the whole idiom not really work anymore. Yeah, if suddenly it doesn't always work.
Well,
you know?
It's not as black and white as it's portrayed in idioms.
Question three, please, for the love of God.
We need to either never come in the show with less or come in the show with way less than we usually do.
I figured this could either go way wrong or way right. So far, it's kind of way right.
It basically just sounds like what the show sounds like before we start recording with about 80% less football talk.
Yeah, this is pretty much it.
All right, so you said it was an NES game, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Did it come out before 1991? So 1990, 1989, 1988, et cetera, et cetera,
et cetera. Before
91.
Yes.
Okay, so it's in the front half of the NES's life.
I'm writing all this down, by the way. I got it.
Thank you. That was three. I'm sorry, Greg. I stepped on your question.
Yep.
So is this Nintendo developed?
No.
Okay. Unfortunately, there's way too many developers on the NES.
No, it's one of those. If it were Nintendo developed, that really kind of narrows it down more than people might think, and then you could really get down to it. But
what would be amazing is if somebody just said, like, is it blank? And he was like, what the fuck? Yes. It would be great as if on question one, somebody was like, is it Snoopy? And it's like, yes, it was. How did you, what? Are you in my mind? And it might still be when I edit this.
All right. So far, it's an NES game before 1991 that is not Nintendo developed.
Yeah. All right, John, I accidentally double questioned, so you can ask.
Let's see. Does it require any sort of peripheral?
No.
All right, you've eliminated like six games.
Well, I eliminated something that could be really off the wall, right?
Oh, okay.
If you really wanted to be, you should have chosen your words more carefully, though, because you could have said, does it utilize as opposed to require,
right?
Because there's a number of games on NES didn't require peripherals.
Fuck, it's gonna be like it's gonna be like stadium events now because it doesn't require the pad.
Yeah.
Oh.
We did, I don't know if this is on the podcast, but we did say before recording at the very least that we it was against the rules to be an asshole. So
mm-hmm.
No, we didn't. No, we said it's against the rules to be a super asshole.
Being
a regular asshole is okay.
Well, I mean,
as long as we follow the rules that we set, you're fine.
The spirit of that question is, does it require some specific peripheral
beyond
the peripherals that are normally included with an NES system?
Right. The answer doesn't change.
Okay. All right. Is this a licensed game?
No.
Okay, that actually eliminates a bunch of shit.
Yeah. We're on question seven.
Damn, it's not Hollywood Squares.
Was it developed in Japan?
Yes.
Ooh. I almost just want to ask, is this a good game? Because that might eliminate a lot of them.
Yeah.
Is it... Was it developed by a company that's still active and like a major player in the industry?
No.
Shit. That's the worst answer we could have gotten.
Okay, is it based on an arcade game?
No.
Is that 10?
It's 9.
9.
It's 9, okay. So it doesn't require any peripherals. It came out before 91. It's not an arcade game. It's not a licensed game. It's on the NES. Greg?
I mean, how do you feel about narrowing down genres at this point, boys?
Yeah. No,
I think it's time to do it.
We got to start cutting some stuff. I think it's either genres or years.
I'm just trying to think what's the most efficient way to narrow down genre.
Well, we know it came out between 85 and 90, so we could split the difference again.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to think about probably the most effective way to do it is think about the genres that are most popular, like 2D platformers.
Yeah, platformers, it would loom right. large.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go with that then. So, is it a 2D platformer?
No.
Yeah, that certainly does eliminate very many games.
Yes.
The company no longer exists or is defunct is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Well, no longer a major player. It's tough. It's it doesn't release anything as far as I know.
Okay. So the company may still exist. They just don't really do games anymore. Or they're not releasing a bunch of games now.
Or it might not exist. It's
It's in that range of things. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily not exist anymore. They just aren't. You know, they're not majorly building and making stuff.
Okay.
Part of me screaming this is Taito, and I don't know why.
I'm thinking Taito, maybe Data East.
Data East would be good.
Yeah, but Atari would be an interesting case. They've been absorbed, haven't they?
They have been, and but like the equivocation of like, well, they don't release games anymore, which does apply to the Taito brand.
Yeah, that's true. I think that may have some minor autonomy still within
it. It could be Sunsoft.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking Sunsoft. What about Natsume? Are they still, they're still around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they are still around.
We talked about them today, actually.
So, Sunsoft are interesting because they made a number of licensed things, which we've eliminated, but then they made games that were like meant to be licensed, but then you know, the license fell through, like Journey to Silius being a Terminator game, all that kind of stuff. So
I kind of just want to just go, is it Euphoria? But I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna wait. I'll save that for like when things get way out of hand, because that would have been like, it came out in Europe but not North America. That'd have been fucked. Doesn't mean it didn't do it, but We're in trouble if that happens. All right, so it's not a platformer. It's a Japanese-developed game from a company that's not a major player anymore. Not based on an arcade, on the NES from before 1991. Any objections to me just splitting the years again?
No.
Okay. Did it come out in... did it come out in 1987 or earlier?
No.
So it came out in 88, 89, or 90. Which is also prime time for the fucking NES.
Yeah, it is. It takes out some of the earlier, you know, some of those kind of early games that, yeah, maybe they were somebody's first NES game, so it has a kind of fame attached to them on that basis.
Right.
Well, what, question 11? That was, or question 12 now, right?
That was 11.
11, yep.
All right, John, it's your turn. Help.
Oh, boy. So it's not a 2D platformer. It did not come out before 87. So it's 87. So it's basically 88 to 91? Or yep. 87 to 91?
88.
Okay. Not licensed. Developed in Japan. Company no longer exists.
You said the developer no longer exists, right? We said it was not Nintendo published, correct? Or did we say Nintendo developed?
I said developed.
Mm.
And I also said then was it developed in Japan?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I would say, is this a game developed by Acclaim?
No, John, no.
It was made in Japan.
No, it was in Japan.
Yeah, right. My bad.
John is not good at the guess who. is it a woman? Yes. Does she have a mustache?
No. Oh, fuck that. No. I'm sorry. I forgot that it wasn't developed in Japan. I'm staring right at it.
Is it Frank? No.
Is it gassy?
All right. All right. Is it an action or adventure game?
Yeah.
It is an adventure game. Okay.
It's one of the things you could call it.
It's one of
the that's the thing, especially in that sort of time. There was quite a lot of genre like, blending. It's not the most cut and dry kind of distinction.
Why? Well, I can't say no.
I can't say no. You can. You totally can. I'm okay with you saying no.
I think you guys would call BS if at the end, you know, if I had said
it would be objectionable, but it's still, yeah, because it isn't the most clear distinction.
It's not like a scrolling shooter or shit like that.
For us to say rule certain things in, right? Obviously, I mean, I was getting tempted by Crystalis, but that's the SNK have drifted out of the scene and then drifted back in again.
Right. I was thinking about that myself. I was like, Was this game released on a virtual console?
Yes.
Ah.
again, being Japanese developed, you know, it had a better chance to be released on virtual console because most.
But that does eliminate a bunch of shit.
Yeah, there's plenty of notable Japanese kind of omissions from the although the NES got, you know, a lot of games. Compared to some of the other formats that were in the VC.
I mean, I'm thinking, just thinking out loud, I'm thinking maybe Princess Tomato and the Salad Kingdom. Maybe.
You can't sort of fish. Forget, you know.
Does that fit the timeline?
Let's see if it does. I'm not fishing. I'm just thinking out loud, man. Not asking Guillaume for anything.
He can't see if he fucking shifts his position in his seat. This is radio.
Is it? I'm thinking about crashing the boys. I mean, I don't know.
I have kind of a guess.
I'm sitting here going, God, is it Euphoria? Is it Faxanadu? Oh,
yeah, it's kind of.
I was thinking about the serious question. Perhaps. Do you think we should question whether it was part of? Yeah, we've done licensed. The next sort of, okay, is it part of a game series? So, but then we have to choose how to phrase that carefully.
I think that's how you would ask it. Is this part of a series of games?
All right, fair enough. Let's go.
You want to ask it that way?
Yeah, that's asked at this point, Guillaume. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one.
Son of a bitch.
I think I have to say yes, but it's not that clear.
No. We're gonna be really mad when we hear what this game is.
It is kind of clear, but it's a weird situation. I don't know how to say this.
It's not like in an orthodox kind of way that it's connected to the series, perhaps. But I'm not fishing. Don't worry. I'm just thinking aloud. I'm not asking you to confirm it.
All right, Greg. Just making sure. Yeah. You're not fishing.
All right. So let's roll.
Like I said, that definitely did not rule out my guess. But it doesn't exactly point that much towards it either, so I don't know if we want to try and narrow it. How many questions we got left?
Oh boy.
We got 5 left. That was question 15. We got 5.
I'm sitting here and wondering, like, huh, kind of a series, but not Japanese developed, but they're kind of dead, but kind of not. Kind of an certainly a platformer though. So I was wondering if this was like going to be some like Spelunker bullshit, but no, that's kind of a platformer. And we said it wasn't a platformer, so we know it's not Princess Tomato then, because I'm fairly certain if there was a game that could be called the sequel to that, we'd all have died.
It also came out in 1991 as well, at least in North America.
Okay, all right, so. Well, that's fine. We know it's not an arcade port. We know it's kind of an action game. We know it's not. So, who could have made it? So, like, we have Sunsoft. They've released a bunch of games. We have Technos released a bunch of games on the Virtual Console. Data East had a couple. I mean, you could argue Konami's not really in games anymore, but I think that's changed enough. I think there's been enough of that we have to say it's not accurate.
Well, that's why I was thinking of Hudson Soft with Princess Tomato, right? Is the fact that, like, they really don't exist anymore. But I mean, they still kind of do, but they don't.
Yeah, it's like the title.
Not the same capacity.
It's like the title thing, isn't it? Yeah.
So we said it had to be 90, or what was the years we have it down to?
It was
88, 89, 90. That was my understanding.
Yep. 88, 89, or 90.
So it's kind of a series, but not really from a. It's got to be Technos. It's got to be. Because it's Kunio-kun is where we're headed towards.
And for as far as the dates go, like, I'm thinking North America.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Like, I'm leaning there to, like, ooh, is this a Kunio-kun thing? And that's why it's kind of, like, not. There are a handful of Kunio-kun related games on the Virtual Console, or at least were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, they still. I mean, we still get those games to that, you know, new Kunio related Getsuo? Are they?
That's true.
What's the situation
Techno,
there with the?
But does Techno still exist?
Yeah, this is where it gets a bit muddy. I guess.
I guess they still do. But no, they don't. Technos Japan is fucking dead. They've been dead forever.
Yeah, I see. It was just somebody's bought up the IP.
Yeah. Okay. I want to say Arc Systems did.
Yeah.
Actually. I think we just have to get the publishers. So like, it could be Technos. It could be like Jellico. It could be IREM. Although IREM doesn't have that many games. But they're super fucking dead. It could be Hudson.
You know, depending. Guillaume is waiting to fucking play the 10-yard fight card on.
Every game is an adventure. The question is, does Guillaume consider Konami dead? Because if he does, we're fucked. If he doesn't, like, we eliminate half the virtual console.
I'm still thinking Euphoria. You've mentioned it, James. It ticks a lot of the boxes.
It does, and I don't want to be the one to pull the trigger on
Sunsoft
it.
And Virtual
Why
Console
don't we just ask
and...
if it's are there other Sunsoft games it could be?
Nothing. I mean, it wouldn't be Blaster Master because that's technically a 2D platformer, right? Batman is a 2D platformer.
Yeah, that's the Euphoria is you know,
it would have to be
as
Euphoria.
Much a 2D platformer.
If it's the virtual console on the NES, it would have to be Euphoria if it's Sunsoft.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because obviously Batman was licensed and never got on the virtual console, sadly.
Yeah.
Everyone's always had such nice things.
Is it Euphoria?
It is not.
Damn it!
So maybe that was too much of a platformer.
No, at this point, I was like, look, we're just
get it out of our heads.
So let's pull the bandage off and see what we get.
Yeah.
Just for level setting for anyone in the future, Konami is not a dead company. So if you get that question, do not say yes.
Is it undead?
It's not dead. It may be undead.
It survived, could you say? Like Metal Gear survived,
yes.
Right? Get it? I'll be here all night.
Boo!
Mm-hmm.
Boo that man!
Four more questions.
Yep.
Oh man!
My own goal there with the acclaim question looming large.
So Guillaume, I want to ask something real quick. That's not part of the game. Would you consider two companies that merge that it still exists to be one of the individually to be dead? Like, would you consider Namco dead?
Or Enix?
What does Namco? Well, Namco is still in the name.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's not like that.
Okay. All right. So this wasn't like, ha ha ha, they'll never guess because it's a Namco game.
Yeah. Now SquareSoft and Square is dead. And
ha ha. Gotcha. No, that would be evil. I just want to make sure that we weren't doing something like that. That would be really fucked. So I'm gonna ask this, although I'm taking my life in my own hands here a little bit. I'm gonna see if I can figure out who made it. And maybe then we'll have like one guess to make the last poll. Is this a Hudson Soft game?
Yes.
Shit!
Okay.
All right, so we have a handful of choices it could be, because they put a billion things on the virtual console.
Yep.
Like, does Adventure Island tick off the checkboxes? I'm trying to think of what I know about Hudson Soft that was on the VC. I think... It came out in 88. Does that count? Yes. That's in our years, right?
Yeah. 88, yep. Yeah.
But Adventure Island is a series. Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
there's Adventure
sure.
Island,
yeah.
There's two and three, and there's new and whatever. There's Lode Runner, which just had a game that came out. There's the fucking Milo's Secret Castle, isn't there?
Yeah, it's I had when Guillaume said Hudson, that was the first thing that came into my head.
Yeah, I mean,
and it is sort of a series because you know you had the Milo's Doki Doki Adventure that came later, which was also on Virtual Console.
We've already established it's not Princess Tomato.
Yep.
Well, we said it is a series, but not really.
Yeah, I said with that, that's why I brought up Doki Doki Adventure. That was the import Super Famicom game on VC.
So that leaves like Lode Runner and Mylon, really.
Yeah, Mylon Super Castle is 88. Yep.
Lode Runner should be super, super early, though. Lode Runner on the NES, well, it was 87, so that's out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my understanding of the...
So looking at...
I don't know. I hope I didn't, you know, set you on the wrong path with one of my answers.
Which means we're not saying the right game.
Well, I'm just, you know, like, sometimes I hesitated on some answers for a reason.
All right, who wants to be the one to pull the bandage off and just guess it's Mylon's Secret Castle? I think John should do it because this is his fault.
All right, is it Mylon's Secret Castle?
Of course not.
All right,
I would consider that unambiguously a series because
okay, all right, yeah,
the Super Nintendo game, the Super Famicom game.
Yeah.
All right, we got two more guesses here. We got 19.
Is it Lode Runner? Silence.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what?
Is it Lode Runner?
No.
Oh shit!
That was reckless. James. That was reckless.
No, I think we're out of Hudson. I think we're out of Hudson games that were public that were developed.
Oh, so
on the
is
Virtual
Lode
console.
Runner an adventure game?
It's not. I mean, like your choices remain like Adventure Island and Star Soldier.
I mean, it has to be. Okay, hold on. Let's just vet Adventure
Island. Or Faxanadu.
It is Faxanadu. Correct.
What about Falcom, though?
But you could also say, hold on. Let's just sit here. Let's sit here and look at the evidence.
It's got to be Faxanadu.
We only got one shot, all right?
All right. You got one shot.
All right.
Something Mom Spaghetti. I don't know.
Yep,
what are we doing?
Yep. Okay, before
we've
got
to be faster about this shit.
Not Nintendo developed.
It's a Hudson Soft game.
Yep, it's a Hudson Soft game. So
it came out between what years? 88, 89, 90?
88, 89, 90. It is not a 2D platformer. So
it is a game that would be liberally described as an adventure game.
But not a 2D platformer.
It is kind of a series. I think it's Faxanadu.
I think that's the only.
But that's a role-playing game too.
Falcom still around?
What?
Isn't Falcom still around? That, you know.
Yeah. So that's the question. Is it?
But they didn't do.
They didn't do that version.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Xanadu, the series that it came from.
Yeah.
But Hudson Soft made it.
Faxanadu is a spin-off that Hudson Soft made.
Yes. There you go. I think that's got to be the best thing we've got on that basis.
All right. John, Greg, who wants to do it?
I'll do it.
All right.
Is it Faxanadu?
My God, that was like such, you know, so last minute, like the last question. And you got it.
Yes.
I thought for Xanadu earlier that and Euphoria, but the thing that threw me off was the fact that Falcom is still around.
But you know now why I hesitated on the developer, because it's Hudson, and also, like, is it a series? Technically, it is part of the Dragon Slayer series,
whatever that means.
This game was made by Hudson Soft. Falcom did not make it.
Yep.
And it's kind of only loosely tied to, you know, I guess the larger mythology of Dragon Slayer. So
yeah, we're gonna have to put a time limit on questions. All right, let's move on to the next email. And I have a game and I have an email, so I have both of these things. GX writes, "Dear RFN crew, I come with a message from the future. As it turns out, all the worries we have about splitting timelines and paradoxes associated with time travel are highly exaggerated, and the universe is pretty good at just healing itself. So while I'm here saving the man who will become John the Collector from the non-lethal earthquake, I thought I'd ask, if you could take one decision or event in Nintendo's history, creative decision, or business decision, and change it, what would it be and how? I can't promise anything, but I'll see what I can do. Another funny time travel fact, people in the past typically don't listen to time travelers claiming to be time travelers. Thanks, and I welcome our new RFN overlords. John, you have 30 seconds to make your love hotel joke go. I know it's coming, so just get it out of the way.
Nice phrasing, James. Nice phrasing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll take a pass. Keep going.
The clock still runs when you pass on the love hotel joke. I would have liked to have seen Nintendo not bury their arcade history so quickly. That, you know, there's a really good article that came out probably about 2 years ago now about hunting down, I can't remember what the game was called, but it was like the lost Nintendo arcade game. And basically, Nintendo just sort of divorced themselves from their past as a developer of arcade games. Once they found success with the Famicom and then the NES outside Japan, they mostly just backed away from that portion of the business. They stopped making games in that space, and they just kind of, with the exception of Donkey Kong, stopped acknowledging that history. We had a couple dodgy ports to NES, but beyond that, they just sort of moved away. And I think that helped diminish the role of the arcade in general. And I think it also deprived them the ability to do what Sega continued to do, even though they operated arcade games. Lo and behold, me saying they should have emulated Sega as a console manufacturer. But Sega was able to continue to iterate on ideas in the arcade space and then convert those into home releases and, you know, give games like Golden Axe and Streets of Rage to thank for it. I don't know that Nintendo would have ever gotten there, but I would have liked to have seen what they would have been able to put out with another 5 or 6 years making arcade games as the technology improved and as their skill at making them continued to improve. I think they could have made some really classic games. And I think them just abandoning their history as soon as they felt like it was convenient showed a great deal of disrespect for some good games that they produced in the past. Like, I've never seen a working Donkey Kong 3 machine. I would love to see it. I know it's weird.
What do you mean it's weird?
Like, it's different.
Stanley the Bug.
Does it have a controller that's shaped like?
No. It's just a different kind. It's a different game. Like, it's not like. All the Donkey Kongs are different.
It's more like a shoot 'em up, right? Because it's all right. Stanley the Bugman business.
Yeah, and so like there's weird stuff that was going on that they kept making these Donkey Kong games, but they kept trying new ideas. I would have liked to have seen what happened if they just kept at it. They just kept making stuff. And I know they had to split their resources, but you know, it would have been interesting to see what came out of them continuing to produce stuff that's designed with a very different ethos than where the NES went, because the NES very quickly departs from the arcade I'm gonna get your quarters style of gameplay. But I would like to see where they could have continued to refine that. Now, it may not have made much help for them in the long run. It may have been a disaster for them economically, but just as a fan, I would have liked to have seen what a Donkey Kong 4 would have looked like, or what else they would have produced in their arcade space, especially as they got more confident in that area.
I would have liked Nintendo to not change, like not course correct when the video game crash happened, and all of a sudden, like, retailers didn't want video games in their toy aisles anymore. And, you know, like, Nintendo just went and, like, actually, right now I'm fuzzy in my history, so that's bad for time travel. I'm probably going to change way too much, step on a butterfly. But didn't Nintendo kind of like decide to market the NES as some sort of computer, but then like we never saw half those peripherals?
The first time we saw the NES, I think it was at the Toy Fair. It was a very different piece of hardware than what came out.
Right. It was like sleeker looking, and it had a keyboard accessory that you could have and stuff like that.
It looked very futuristic.
Yeah. It was like kind of their ploy to try to get retailers to sell their console, even though.
Yeah. I guess that was like, that was more playing the computer angle. Whereas what we got with the NES was more kind of a VCR kind of looking console, and then the toy angle with things like Rob and the Zapper, In both cases, they were kind of trying to get away from, like you said, the stigma of video game consoles after the market plunge that happened in America around then. But it was a bit slightly different approaches to doing the same thing.
Yeah. So what I would like to see is like the kind of the computer part of it come to life. You know, like I would have liked to see that the NES get like the, you know, like the diskette drive and everything. Like most of the stuff that stayed in Japan.
Yeah, with the Famicom. They had all those things, didn't they? You know, that's the way it was marketed.
And the Famicom was kind of the DS in that way. Like everyone had it, and it had kind of a purpose for everyone in the family. Like I think that you could, I can't remember exactly, but there was software for like moms or.
Yeah,
you know,
you could
whoever.
Manage your investments.
Yeah, productivity software and all that stuff. Yeah.
So that would have been interesting to see. Like, I would have liked to see Nintendo kind of try to do that here in North America.
If they'd gone that way, we'd be more likely to get the sort of FDS, you know, the disk system.
I think so.
And then you know how that would have changed. Things you wouldn't have had to deal with passwords in Metroid and all that kind of stuff.
We would have good Castlevania music and
it would have been quite different. Of course, eventually Nintendo soured on the FDS in Japan, and eventually kind of came back around to cartridges, giving them more memory and all this kind of thing. But it would have been interesting.
What's interesting is the AVS, which is what they were calling it.
Yes.
Was actually so it was very clearly modeled on the microcomputers that were out at that point. Like, I mean, it looks like a Commodore. It even had a cassette adapter, which is crazy. Like they would have had the disk system in Japan, and we would have had cassettes. Which, if you ever tried to load a game off a cassette, is fucking miserable.
I've seen it done. It didn't look fun.
It takes forever. It fails a lot of time because it's actually playing a sound and converting it to a game like it's a level of Bangayo Spirits. it was going the same track the Famicom did, where it was like, well, we can't just sell video game consoles. We have to make this a computer, a family computer, to get it in front of retailers. But they tried the same thing here. But at some point, they said, we don't have to do that. We could just put out a purely game system.
Well, I said they went the toy angle. They tried to differentiate it from Atari, sort of whatever. So this is a bit more, of a toy. So that was supposed to be kind of a bit of a Trojan horse, and I guess it was to some extent. For getting video game stuff back on shelves.
Yeah, John and I have made fun of Atari and their many, many home PCs that they put out every 5 seconds.
Yes.
Or they would package the same home computer inside a console hardware, sell it for more money, even though it didn't have a disc and required you to buy expensive cartridge versions of the same game versus the cassette version that was a dollar. And then they made all kinds of dumb decisions like that. It was that era of computer technology and consoles was just stupid. It was really stupid.
Well, for me, I kind of feel like this is the obvious answer. The fork in the road, the whole PlayStation, Sony, Philips, the stab in the back that Nintendo kind of did back then in the mid 90s, where the CD add-on deal that they had with Sony would have been. May have been called the PlayStation for the Super Famicom and the Super Nintendo, but then for whatever reason they kind of reneged on that and then made a deal with Philips, and that yielded stuff like those Wonder Gamelon Zelda game and
Faces of Evil.
Yeah, and there never was a CD add-on
Hotel Mario
for Super Nintendo, and then Sony goes off and makes its own console, and the rest is history. But I mean, as much as anything, just to see what would have happened. You could assume things would have been really different, and certainly they would have been different, but how different and what would have happened is just of great interesting. Somebody who was, you know, reading the magazines at the time, kind of lived it as much as one could remotely in those days. Not the same as, you know, with the kind of attention that things get now with the internet and whatnot. But still, you know, I was very much aware of it, and it was very much a sort of shock. Where, you know, just seemed like a natural kind of, especially knowing the fact that Sony actually, you know, had a kind of hand in the Super Nintendo hardware with the sound chip and everything. It just said, oh, well, of course, you know, to me as a child, that they would, like, yeah, the CD add-on makes sense kind of thing, and they're gonna, you know, do it, and what would have come from that. It's always sort of intrigued me, you know, if you could go back and tell Nintendo to not do one. follow through what it would have looked like.
Yeah, using CDs instead of cartridges, you know, what those games would have looked like, and also...
Well, that's one of the most interesting things to me is, okay, let's say the Super CD, you know, the PlayStation happens, and I guess there's some very tangible things you could say, like Secret of Mana would have been, like, more full, you know, like the game that it was meant to be, rather than kind of cut down to cartridge and whatnot. But beyond that, like, would it have changed their mind going into the N64 generation about what sort of media they would use had the Super CD existed? Or would they have still come back to, you know, their priorities about, you know, the kinds of games they wanted to create when they're, you know, forging into 3D and, you know, making what would become Mario 64, and still say, nah, you know, we can do an add-on later or for different kind of games, but we don't want the console to be kind of core CD. And then, you know, would that have left a kind of opening in the market that I don't know how, whether Sony would still have ultimately just struck out on their own and the timing would have been different, or somebody else could have filled it, or Sega would have done better, or, you
know. Also, would Xbox have existed either? Because Microsoft saw what Sony was doing and said, we have to get in on that, right? So
there's a lot, we're really getting into, you know, kind of ripple effects and all sorts of stuff. It's a really pivotal moment, and there's just, it's fascinating, the kind of local implications in terms of what it would have meant for the Super Nintendo and all that kind of thing are kind of very interesting to me. But then, you know, the more macro stuff is profound.
Let's be honest. Sony had a plan. They were working. This was their step into the industry.
Like it was probably inevitable that they would, you know, maybe branch into it eventually. But you know, the timing and how they did it, probably would have been significantly different if that.
Yeah, and would they have remained a partner rather than going out on their own completely? You know, like, would they have stayed in the background, or would they have, you know, gone forward?
No, that's not the Sony thing to do. The Sony thing to do is be out in the front. And the thing was, the deal that they were going to get, who was going to get the money for disc system games, was fucked. Because, like, Sony was going to walk away with a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason Nintendo pulled out.
Yeah, did renege on it,
But it was a bad contract to begin with. Like, that was the problem. And so they went to one of the holders of the CD license, and they just went to the other one and said, okay, what do you got?
Yeah. The specifics are kind of in terms of how you change it, you know, in this time travel scenario. Like, do you just say, well, let's just change how the contract was originally written with Sony so they wouldn't want to renege on it, you know, and it was more equitable or something like that?
Yeah. All right, John, what do you got?
For me, another sort of 800-pound gorilla is the letting Rare go. Nintendo at one point owned 49% of Rare, and they were a second-party developer, and everybody knows all the games that they made.
And they had the option to buy the rest of it.
No, this is a very clear fork in the road, where it's like, you know, the Stamper brothers are looking to sell, you know, and I guess it's, if you know, Nintendo is like, well, you can buy the rest of it, or you could sell it off, and they chose to sell.
Yep, and so, you know, and since then, you know, hasn't really been the same old Rare. You know, Sea of Thieves aside, they've never reached those heights again.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies is a masterpiece.
Well, you have to think too that part of that is not having that access to Nintendo game designers. You know, certainly they were great game designers in their own right, but obviously having the knowledge base that Nintendo has in terms of design and and all that kind of stuff can do nothing but benefit you. So they missed that, obviously.
People left too. Like they weren't content making avatars for Microsoft or making Kinect Sports, and they moved on.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Tim and Chris Stamper left. They were gone. So.
Yeah. So yeah. Now that money was put to good use, buying other stuff, and so maybe we don't. Maybe we don't have Monolith Soft under Nintendo if that happens, or
true.
Some other acquisition they made. I mean,
Microsoft,
that's the butterfly effect we're doing here, TM.
Yeah, and that was not a small amount. I mean, Microsoft bought them for $375 million. So
yep.
Not chump change.
Did a lot of money.
Yep. So yeah, that's what I would have liked to see.
It's hard to see that has been, from Microsoft's point of view, been the biggest bang for the buck.
They needed a legacy. That's all it was. They needed a legacy to say, like, we have a history in the video games business, and that was what Rare was going to give them. Mm-hmm. And like products like Rare Replay, which are incredible vanity projects, are attempted to say, like, no, we're not some interloper in this field.
Yeah, it's not AstroTurf. It's real roots.
I mean, the problem is that even now on their third console, like they have an image, but it doesn't quite feel the same as the other two platform holders. Like, they've got Halo, but beyond that, like when you think of Microsoft, you know, where does your head go? It goes to spreadsheets.
Well,
it goes to Windows. It goes stuff like that, and so it's a tougher for them to say, like, no, we're here. But when they bought Rare, like, they didn't even have that. They had fucking Kabuki Warriors. They had Reckless the Yakuza missions. They had Cell Damage. Like, they needed something. They had Mace. Remember, not Mace. That was the fucking game from the fighting game. They had, what was the, they had Malice.
Yeah.
That, which was a CG render that was on the back of Xboxes for 10 years until it finally came out on the fucking PS2.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, they struck gold, obviously, with Halo and, you know, even stuff like Gears of War. But I mean, they're, first party development has been in the doldrums for quite a while, just kind of wandering in the wilderness.
And Gears wasn't until 360 came out. Like, before that, it was Halo.
So yeah, they've always had that problem, and that's the thing. And you would think, I mean, I remember when Microsoft bought Rare, it was like, oh wow, like, that's huge. Like, just think of the games that are going to come out from Rare. And then it was just pretty much like, hey, Rare's working on Kinect games for 5 years straight. That's cool.
Well, you know, I mean, the early on, it kind of there was some expectation of, okay, you know, the stuff that was going to be made for GameCube is now going to be made for Xbox, and
they finished that one game on the 360.
But that's the thing. Then it's like, well, you know, did you get a Perfect Dark game like anytime soon? No, it was the next console that got that.
Yeah, you know, that, like, that game about the third person adventure game where you could transform into the animals, it was a 360 game ultimately. The only thing that got on the original Xbox was a remake of Conker and Grabbed by the Ghoulies. That was it. And then there were three games on the 360, and then there was a few, because they had Viva Pinata and stuff. So they actually did do a little bit on 360 before the Kinectimals.
And you had that sort of weird phase where you would get you know, the portable games coming out for the GBA. Right.
Yep. All right. So we'll do my 20 questions real quick. So we'll try to be snappy about it.
Oh boy. Are you sure about that?
Yeah. Let's do it. I'm editing. I don't care. Let's make this happen. Who wants to go first?
Is it from before January 1st, 1995?
No.
So it's after January 1st, 1995.
I'm not going to count that. Yeah. I'm not going to count that, but the answer is yes. It's after January 1st, 1995.
Okay, so that was a free question. Free question.
That was free. I'm giving that one for free.
Note that I want the record to show that I do not
Crazy
get a
James
free
question.
I do not get a free question for fucking up a claim. Okay, I just want the record to say that.
No, you didn't. You're right. You didn't. Okay, continue. Let's go. I already know what I would ask, but
well, that's lovely. Thank you.
Maybe the system? I don't know.
Yeah, come on, Joe.
I mean, there's not that many.
Is this a Nintendo 64 game?
No. Are we just going to go through the systems?
That's what I want to do. But
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of systems. You could burn through a lot of guesses before you
true.
Do that. You might want to try to narrow down some stuff before you go after systems.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the Virtual Console release question again, because that was useful in the last one. But I'm also a little bit wary of the if it's after 95 and it's not an N64 game. Yeah, I mean, it still could have got released on Virtual Console because you've got Game Boy stuff that's come out in that span, GBA stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that it could be.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem as valuable as it did in the last round. So what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I would go by system, personally. But, well, you know, maybe a home console, a portable or something.
Yeah, all right, let's go with that question.
So is this a home console game?
No.
Right, well, yeah.
I mean, you could go after years again as well.
Yeah.
That sort of accomplishes two feats.
So is this my turn for the question then? Like it's Greg's question and
whoever wants to go.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not keep it too rigid.
Yeah, let's brisk.
Okay. So was the game released after January 1st, 2005?
No.
Okay, between 95 and 2005. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Just whittle it down to December 5th.
It pretty much eliminates the DS apart from some of that killer launch lineup. John, I'm sure, is already thinking about ping pals just as I've said that.
Just go ahead and guess, John.
It's there.
Don't say it. Impressionable.
The thing is, that would have been a really smart move for me to just say it's ping pals because no one will ever let John guess ping pals.
Smart is one word for it.
Should I ask if the game has multiplayer?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean,
and a portable.
Obviously there were plenty, but maybe it wasn't as commonplace as you might think due to link cable entanglements.
Right. So okay.
Well, no, I mean, it might be more fruitful to talk about online. Ask about online play because that would be the DS, right?
No. We've already eliminated the DS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But pretty much, apart from the aforementioned Ping Pals and Super Mario 64.
Right, and that was not online. Right. Like the online
stuff
after.
was into 2005 with Mario Kart. So.
Right.
True.
So, okay. I'm going to ask, does this game have multiplayer?
Yes. But limited. But yes.
Sure. Mm. So it could be a Pokemon or...
That was five, correct?
That was four.
Yes.
No,
it's the fifth question, yeah. Okay, should I ask the platform?
Sure.
You may ask a platform.
Yeah, so was this a GBA game?
GBA.
Yeah.
No.
Huh.
All right, so we still got original Game Boy GBC.
Is this game... available in color?
No.
Okay. So that rules
I had to
out,
think about that for a second.
That rules out the Game Boy Color then.
Or games made specifically for the Super Game Boy, which some of the later Game Boy games were, like Mega Man 5.
I guess, DK94 is one of the most famous of those. We've already ruled out that.
I'm thinking about the default way in which it is played. It is not a game that is color or advertised as color or whatever.
All right.
So it's, okay. Yeah, I was going to ask, is this the Space Invaders release that if you put in the Super Game Boy, it gave you the Super Nintendo ROM of Space Invaders? But clearly, we've ruled that out. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's actually the correct answer is it's the ROM that's on the cartridge, but that's not actually the game. Yes, that was the no. Let's keep moving.
Okay.
Do you want to go Japan v. the West thing?
Might as well.
Go for it.
All right. So was this game developed in Japan?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear typing. I'm typing, I know.
That's not me.
No, yeah. It's not me either. I literally don't even have a keyboard in front of me.
Yeah, well, some people are old over here, Greg. All right?
John browses the internet on a teletype.
What do you want from me, man?
All right. I was 8.
There's always the Nintendo, non-Nintendo distinction.
True. Okay. So, is this game published by Nintendo?
Published by Nintendo, yes.
Now then.
I'm looking at video of it right now.
That's
great. Hold on.
I'm going to explain. Yeah, any equivocation I gave on is this game in color? The answer was no. Just get, I don't want anybody to think I was fucking around with them. Like, no, the game is not
right,
in color.
So the key things we've got are published by Nintendo, black and white, multiplayer, portable.
Mm-hmm. And you have years.
And we're in that age span. Yeah. So that should be pretty informative, really. Question is why best to narrow down what's left.
Well, and you said not GBA, right? Did you include that in your? Okay, yeah, I missed that one. Yes, you also included that. Because black and white means it's also not GBA. I can't think of any black and white GBA games.
Good point. Yeah, it's Sam Voyager.
Is it that MP3 player for GBA?
But that's that would fail because it didn't get out of Japan for a start.
Yeah, Sam, you're right. Voyager. It would.
So I'm tempted to ask about genre.
Fair.
Okay, go for it.
So we can maybe eliminate a whole bunch of shitty Game Boy games.
And then, it could get us closer with the whole multiplayer angle as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So is this a puzzle game?
No.
That was a long pause.
Yes.
Okay. I'm thinking. I'm gonna say the answer is no.
Because that's a wise one to ask for sure.
That was 9, by the way.
No, it was 10.
There's 10? I must have missed one.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like y'all are either really close or really far away, and I can't tell which one it is.
I can't tell either. Well, if we keep drilling to genre, I would ask, like, is this... Because the whole, like, limited multiplayer thing, I'm tempted to ask, is this an RPG?
Yeah, no. I'm tempted. It's not. Okay. Not an RPG. That's what I was.
I'm not even
going to
count that one. I'm just going to give it to you right now. No, it's not.
So that rules out stuff like Pokemon.
Yeah, the limited RPG stuff. The limited multiplayer stuff. I was just looking at it like, because it's a portable, and it was like, well, yeah, but you have to have hardware and shit. It this game has multiplayer.
Okay.
Silence.
is this a sports game?
There is sports content in this game. this is a question that is not super easy to answer. It is not a traditional sports game, but there are sports related topics in this game.
Okay, is there like some fake sports, like Bard versus the Juggernauts? I don't know. Like...
It's not John Madden is what I'm saying, but there are things related to real world sports in this game. If you run through a couple more questions, I might give y'all an assist.
Because I'm
starting to feel like y'all are getting further and further away.
Well, it's not a puzzle game. It's not an RPG. If there's sports content in it, that's something that I would expect in an RPG, right? That's what's kind of throwing me.
There is sports-like gameplay is what I am trying to say. I'm not saying like, oh, it's an RPG that takes place in the world of basketball. Like, no, there are gameplay features that feature things from sport. But it is not traditionally a sports game, no. I'm trying to give myself armor so when you guys say BS, I can go, no, it's not a sports game. Or if I said yes, you would say, that's not a sports game. And so it's like, well, no, I'm screwed either way on this one.
Like, okay, so is this kind of a collection of minigames?
Yes.
Is this track and field?
No.
Fuck me. Okay.
I'd rather
thought
not.
I had it. Hmm.
Well, let's see. Game & Watch Gallery, did any of those have multiplayer components?
They might have.
Are they all in color after one, I think? So it would only be the first one that would be in play.
I think that's accurate. I think two was in color. I think that's the one I had.
Yeah. Two and three were in color, and then four was on GBA, if I remember correctly.
Hmm. What a waste of power for GBA.
Yeah.
Did the first one have, multiplayer?
Yeah, I don't know. I've only ever played the Virtual Console release, which wouldn't have had anything. You know, the, apart from Pokemon, they never preserved multiplayer in those releases.
No. Was that a
nope
clue?
I'm just killing time. If I'm giving you a clue, I will tell you. I'm trying to kill the dead air.
Oh, really?
You're 13.
You don't like hearing me breathe, James?
I have all kinds of replies. I'm going to pass on all of them.
I'm deep in thought over here. Sports content in the game and a collection of mini games.
Focus on that second part more than the first. I will just tell you, I was saying that because there's at least one mini game in here that's based on sport.
Right.
I had said hard no, it would have been like, well, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that Mario Party games are based on sports because whatever, there's...
Yeah, I mean, there are sports mini games in them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I get it. Collection of mini games, probably for the Game Boy.
So this is question 14. So there's some stuff you could lock down to try to narrow this in.
Anything about any value in asking about the developer of the game?
I only know them because of these games.
Okay. No.
They're a very Japanese company from the sound of it.
I mean, this does include the Virtual Boy, but there's no...
That's true. Technically speaking...
It does include the Virtual Boy games, but there's nothing.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
But a collection of minigames on the Virtual Boy, I can't...
Doesn't exist.
I mean, the Virtual Boy does come in a color.
True. Right. Yes, if you look strictly colors versus, yes, color, yes. Technically, there is color.
It comes
to
in
it.
And color.
Yes.
Yes. Just the one. All right, y'all need to make some questions here. Work on your assumptions. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Because you guys have made a couple.
Sure, man.
And so if you start to hone those down a little bit, you might help yourself out. I'm giving you that hint earlier than I expected to, so. Because it's been just fucking silence.
Well.
Maybe working on your time might help, too.
But it has to be a Game Boy game after 1995.
Yeah. Yep.
Portable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nintendo didn't release any Game & Watches standalone, and there wouldn't be collections of mini games or you know.
They did, but it was a bonus, and that's not what I'm going for. They did release a Game & Watch like thing you could buy, and they also made it for like Club Nintendo Rewards for 1 year, but that's not it. No. I'm not counting that as your question.
It's vexing.
Yeah, this one's tough.
Why don't you work on your years? That's all I'm going to say. You have a 10-year range.
Yeah, I mean, we could split it in half, I guess, is the obvious thing to do.
Okay. Was this game made before January 1st, 2000?
It was made after January 1st, 2000.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So you got your black and white or non-color after 2000.
And before 2005.
Yes.
2000 to 2005.
This all really hinges on one question. And the question is, do you all know this game exists? And if the answer is yes, you will get it. If the answer is no, you will not.
Japanese game, Nintendo published.
Nintendo published. Not Nintendo developed. Which I don't think you asked, and like I just gave it to you.
Yeah, I kind of...
I figured that.
Seemed like you intimated that at the very least beforehand, but yeah, now we know for sure. But
yes.
So yeah, it's, I guess the big question is the the non-color in the 21st century.
Yeah, that's what's throwing me. I can't think.
I will offer another piece of advice. I do not know that I have talked about this game on the show, but I have talked about it with you guys. In fact, I'm fairly confident I haven't talked about it on the show.
Freaking Wikipedia. The last thing it gives me is like October 1999. And it's Pikachu edition of Pokemon.
Oh?
So it looks like...
That's the game. The Pokemon... Yeah, okay. Yes. I was like, what is he talking about, Pikachu Edition? It's Pokemon Yellow, right?
Yeah, right, Pokemon Yellow was called Special Pikachu Edition.
That's not the game. I was just like, what the fuck is he talking about, Pikachu Edition?
I mean, that was... they had to make it really explicit. You know, the Yellow just wasn't enough.
You've got 6 guesses left. Why don't you work on some of your assumptions?
Okay,
So you want us to ask if this is a Game Boy
game? Yeah, is this a Game Boy game?
No.
No.
Yeah, almost couldn't be.
I have been giving you all that hint for 6 questions.
Once we got the thingamajig...
I could have ended this a long time ago.
We are now looking... very strongly at this Pokemon Mini concept.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I could think of that was like Mama Chrome that Nintendo released in the 21st century.
Yep.
Although did PictoChat have sports content?
If you drew it, it did.
I don't know who developed PictoChat either.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pokemon Mini, I think I don't really remember, was that something that actually had games? I mean, could it even, was it just a device? Like,
and I have a guess here.
Do you?
Yeah, and not that I mean, I can't say that I knew this game existed, but...
Are you just looking at a list of games at this point?
Basically, yeah, I know what it is.
Why don't you ask what system it's for, John?
Because that's not a yes or no question.
It's,
well, he could ask me if he knows what game it is. He knows what system it's on.
I mean, is this game for the Pokemon Mini?
It is.
There you go. Yeah, that's the only thing. Wow. The monochrome in the 21st century is the only thing I could think of. But I didn't even know it had like orthodox games for it.
So. Yeah, I didn't either. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, is this some kind of like Tamagotchi thing? That's where I started going.
It could have been the Pikachu animal, whatever.
Is this game Pokemon Party Mini?
It is.
Yeah. Wow.
That is a deep cut.
Yeah.
That is a deep cut. That was a good one.
I was like, I feel bad. I'm going to give them a lot of hints. And then I'm like, no, you guys, you really should think about what you're assuming with the Game Boy. You should strongly consider your assumptions.
Well, I started thinking about that, and I was like, okay, well, the Game Boy was basically completely out of the picture after 2000. So yeah. I was at that point, I was like, okay, well, it has to be something really oddball that they made. And what else would be monochrome aside from something that's Tamagotchi-like?
Yeah.
What tripped me up is that James said that we shouldn't be super assholes.
It's not, though. because if you had gone through years and you said it was a handheld, I assumed you would have gone, eh, this is weird. But also, I've talked about it with you guys, this thing. I talked about having one for a while. Because I bought
it.
Yeah,
I think, in my memory of the fact that it, like I said, I didn't even really recall exactly whether it had sort of, you know, traditional games or it was just a virtual pet thing. Like, I really didn't.
That was the Pikachu.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got a pretty good push. It just didn't take because it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's very stupid. I've also put out a video of me playing these games because they're in Pokemon Channel.
Oh, it all comes back to bloody Pokemon Channel.
There we go. All right. We have gone way the fuck too long on this segment. And in fact, that might be... Do we have time for one email?
Yeah, maybe just finish it off with that. And then...
Does anybody have any choice on what...
What's it? What we got left here?
That's
not do the
Dunzenoside, Dun GX. We got the trousers. Dear gentleman, a taste and well appointed trousers, that is.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that one.
Greg, would you please?
Sure. Dave writes, Dear gentlemen of taste and well-appointed trousers, it seems Blossom Tales sold 20 times more copies on the eShop than it did on Steam. This illustrates how hard it is to be noticed on Steam because it's an uncurated heap of steamy fish guts.
And I prefer fish guts curated, please.
And how well the eShop started. How important do you think it is for Nintendo to tighten their eShop release sphincter to control the quantity and quality of games to avoid becoming filled up with bad stuff? It's already getting harder for a game to stand out as the release dump widens every week. Also, how would you make the shop more user-friendly?
Hey, John, what were we talking about before the show started?
We were talking about how the eShop is an abyss. That you look at and you are completely overwhelmed and paralyzed by choice because there's just a wall of indie games and you have no idea how to discern one from the other in terms of quality.
It's spring again. An educational game for children of ages 2 and up.
Yeah. I mean...
Russian and Anglo.
yeah. Russian and English only.
Yeah. So it doesn't make anybody bat an eye at that one. I mean, I've talked
about
this before. Are
you suggesting this is from Putin?
It might be.
Active
Trump
measures.
Probably really likes that game on several,
Russian spring
several levels.
Is here again.
I mean, one of the things that we've talked about, I'm not sure if I've talked about this, I probably have on the show, is I would really love to see some sort of rating system. I don't necessarily need text reviews, but just even star ratings would be great. Because when I have no context about a game, there should be something on the platform to indicate to me what the rest of the consumer base thinks in terms of the quality of the game.
What more information do you need than a game self-describing itself as the thinking person's Angry Birds? I mean, what else is there to know?
On the 3DS, I thought on the eShop, I thought that the recommendations, like just for you or recommended for you section was actually kind of good. I think it was kind of at least partially based on the ratings that you gave to the games that you played and, you know, that other people gave similar games. But the one of the major problems is that if you had bought a game physically, like the physical copy, it would recommend you the digital version, which yes. is like, well, I've already played this. So now I've got half my list of, I don't know, like 15 or 20 suggestions of games to buy halved, basically, because like I'm not going to rebuy Super Mario 3D Land. That's done. But it seemed to work, and I'd like to get something like that. But yeah, like the first step would be to get a rating system.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, right now... I mean, I don't follow this stuff as tightly as I used to. So, like, I, even though I'm on, like, the NWR email feeds and stuff, I'm I miss things. Like, we get a ton of email about this game is coming to Switch or that game's coming to Switch. Farm Expert on Switch. Sling Ming, which, like, some of these games, like, I get a name and that's it. And so, for whatever reason, like, Sling Ming as a name is just stuck there because it's such a terrible fucking name. Like, the game is what it is and the name actually works, but, like, it's just like, okay, that's all I'm going to ever remember about this. But then you'll see, like, a press release for Animated Jigsaw's Beautiful Japanese Scenery. And you're like, fuck this, I can't. And so I lose track of what's out there. It's hard to keep up with it. And we'll get the press release. And, you know, I'm not calling for the bad old days of the Nintendo Downloads press release. Because as much as they are a beautiful thing, they aren't. That's not, you can't create that through, like, I'm gonna rebirth. Like, it's got to be authentic.
Yeah, we were laughing through a dark time during that.
Yeah,
period.
I mean, look, John, you can use your DSi as a flashlight in case of being stranded on a desert island.
Mm-hmm.
That's not.
It's not wrong.
Well, it's not wrong for, like, it is wrong because in like an hour, no, you won't be able to do that. And also, you can also do that with the DSi menu because it's white. You don't need a game for that. But it there's no context on these download press releases now. Like, it's literally just, here's a list of shit that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, granted, that's for us. Like, that doesn't go out to the general audience or whatever. But, like, it helps me conceptualize. And, yeah, the shop itself is just a big, dumb fucking list with 592 items in it right now.
Yeah, it's like Sony would be proud of it. If it's like they said, hey, we got this PS3 UI. You want to check this out? And then Nintendo was like, yeah, it's cool. Just a whole bunch of dumb lists.
At least
you like XMB? We like XMB.
At least the Switch is faster than the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that's UX. The best thing you can say about it. It's quick, I mean, to get
it. It lacks the power of Cell, though. Don't forget.
It's true. Yeah. Don't we all lack power cell deep inside, John?
You have no idea.
But, yeah, like, I've been basically, like, I've been keeping up with the eShop. Like, I go on the eShop every week. And so, like, I mark on the wish list. At least we've got a wish list function.
Yeah, that's cool.
I add to the wish list, like, everything that seems interesting based on the trailer that's available most of the time on the eShop. Another tool that I use a whole lot more than I used to is Nintendo World Report's reviews.
Yeah. Like,
they're useful. Very, very useful when you've got so many, you know, titles that you don't even know, like, what the heck it could even be. Like, at least you're going to get, like, a good description of what the game is about and kind of an idea of where it stands in terms of quality.
I will say, looking at the games that are in the top sellers, like, these are the good games. Like, these are the games that are really highly regarded. So it seems like if you make a good game, you can get discovered. But beyond that,
you can still slip through the cracks. It seems like
I mean, I guess that probably the most kind of interesting example, because a lot of the stuff that you see continuing to do well in the charts has, like, name recognition from kind of outside the Switch kind of ecosystem. You have stuff like Rocket League and Stardew Valley. Obviously, yeah, then the Nintendo stuff like Versus Arcade, Super Mario Brothers or whatever, you know. So you've got those sort of things. But the fact that Celeste managed to do as well as it did and stick around for as long as it did, I think was kind of encouraging. Obviously,
yeah, or Steam World Dig 2, although that came out earlier, so it had less competition.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, not that, you know, things had built up a fair bit by the time Steam World Dig 2 came out, but you think of the turn of the year, you know, just after that, which is, I think, when Celeste came out, it was really busy. It was like when you're getting, you know, in the high teens and 20, you know, games coming out at once. Now, Celeste reviewed remarkably well, admittedly. It's a lot of really positive word of mouth going around, you know, beyond reviews as well, for that matter. But, you know, it's not like a pre-existing IP or something that you've heard talked about a lot on other systems. It was available on other systems, but, you know, and existed on them before and built up a, you know, cachet or anything like that. And it, you know, managed to kind of rise to the top for a while and all that kind of thing. So
it still sits pretty near the top. Like,
yeah,
it's still hanging out.
So, I mean, in that that sense, you know, it shows that you know, these things are sort of not insurmountable, or you know, kind of really like choking at least at this point. But yeah, there's a lot of things that you know, seem like they could be. Could benefit from, you know, like I said, some of the really obvious things I said last week about having, you know, just an arcade archives category unto itself seems fair. You know, I mean, you can just like look for games that have demos at this point, you know, just that's like a category unto itself. I don't really see, you know, it's such a significant portion of all the stuff that is on the eShop to this point, the arcade archives, that I don't. It seemed perfectly reasonable for that to have its own category.
Well, you could do a partial search for Arcade Archives, and you would find all,
you know,
those titles,
it does,
right?
But that's what I don't think it kind
it
of.
Really, you need a list of, I don't want to see Arcade Archives.
Yeah, well, that's like 500 games or whatever. But, I mean, you know, the problem with having a search for it, though, I feel like, is the way that you know, for people who've already interested in them, that's one thing. But I kind of feel like, you're considering these are games that come out pretty much every week, you know, and it's an ongoing kind of category onto it. So I think it would be nice for people who are not as you know, be aware or as interested in those retro games as I am, for instance, you know, to actually see that, oh, you know, this is like a part of the eShop that's constantly kind of updated, and you know, it's something I could look into, and then see the whole kind of roster of things that have been updated to it. Whereas, you know, you do worry about some of the stuff that came out a long time ago, you know, in those categories, how much, unless you do specifically search for it, or how much is that kind of visible to people at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely need to get to some discovery algorithms to say, like, look, I know what you're interested in, this is it. Nintendo needs to take a more, and they did this on the Wii U, like, they would put games front and center that, I don't know if that was paid for, or if it was just like, this is a game we think is really good. Them pushing games beyond like the Nintendo Direct, because the Nintendo Direct's great, but that's it. And once you get through that, you're kind of, you know, you have to remember that game. I mean, we haven't seen Murphy's Law in what, like 6 months, but like they spent a bunch of time on it when they first showed it. Is that thing just going to come out and be on a press release and that's it? Like, it feels like they thought it was better than that, but maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Some way for you know, games that are really good, and maybe as the platform holder, they really shouldn't be in a position to be the arbitrator of like, this is a really good game and therefore deserves a economically boosting front and center position on the shop. Like, I would imagine in most cases that's sold, like, we sell you this slot. And that in its of itself means it's more fair, because literally anybody could pay for that slot. Whereas if you try to pick it based on the games you think are good, you may run the risk of being the kingmaker, which may not sit well with some of your partners. But there's
from what I understand of how Nintendo of America chooses who can develop for the Switch, it kind of already is that way. Like, it sounds like They're kind of picking the developers that they like, and also they've got at this point, like, they've stated in interviews that, oh, what seems to sell really well is games that have an element of nostalgia to them, that are, you know, like pixel graphics, or that call back to our old own titles, like, you know, like probably evoking like stuff like Golf Story or Axiom Verge. So there's already like.
I mean,
you know,
but that's true, though.
Like, sure, yeah. But I mean, so I'm sure that bias that they have from like what sells well and what the developers that they pick to develop games for them in the first place would carry over to whatever they pick to, you know, to highlight in the eShop.
I'm gonna say right now, from having just gone back through the games that came out in the last 2 weeks, anyone who's complaining that like Nintendo still isn't gonna let me make games for them, there's more to that story.
Yeah,
the shit
sure.
That the shit that came out this week, like, ain't nobody going like, oh man, these guys have a great concept. It's like, oh, you're making a word search. You made a fucking word search, bro.
Yeah.
Like, there's to me, picking winners, explicitly picking winners, saying this game is a winner, here it is on the front of our shop, versus like, we want to do business with this company, versus, you know, hey, these are the kinds of games that sell well, feels different. And if you're selling that slot, then it feels very fine. It's just an advertising deal. If it's just like, we think this is the... And they did that on the Wii U. It's like, these are the games we think are like the bee's knees. I'm just not sure how you as... or how Nintendo as a publisher does that without being... putting too much emphasis for one... And maybe that's where having reviews lets them do that. Because they can just say like... These are the top rated games on the Switch.
Sure.
Or if you start going like, I know people freak out when you use Metacritic, but generally speaking, games that have high Metacritic scores are good. Like, maybe that could be the metric they use. And then they're not even picking winners on publishers. They're just saying like, these games have reviewed well. Something like that, where they aren't involved in the conversation at all. This like this is what this game sold well. This game is featured.
And really, I mean, it's tricky. I'm not sure how Nintendo solves this because it's something that every platform seems to struggle with, and a lot of people like to think of Valve as having their shit together and knowing what they're doing with Steam, but there are stories that come out sometimes, like for the longest time they would not allow visual novels on their platform because it did not fit their idea of what a game is. And then at some point, they finally caved in and they sell gangbusters, or at least very well for that genre. But yeah, so it's like, I don't know, like you get like just like Steam and Valve had growing pains and went from maybe curating too much to not curating enough to having kind of a combination of user reviews that could be gamed to something that was maybe a little bit less easy to game. Nintendo's going to have to... Hopefully Nintendo has been watching and learning from other people's experiences, but I get the feeling that they're going to do most of their learning, doing their own thing.
There are things about the eShop currently. I understand the desire to make it snappy compared to other shops that they've had. And kind of simple, so I think they did probably achieve that as one of their objectives. But in terms of some of the other components, obviously with reviews, I mean, they had that brief time where there were reviews on the website, and then that was quickly pulled. It's another one of those things that seems a little bit conspicuous by its absence, and you wonder if it's going to tie into their subscription service later. Or something, because it doesn't make much. It seems odd to me that the way that the shop was at the launch of the system was not surprising. Just kind of like, look, we just want it up there, and it works, and it's quick. And there wasn't that much in the way of releases early on either, so you didn't have to worry about this sort of congestion issue. But you always kind of felt like, well, it probably will be updated quite significantly in the not too distant future, and that could easily have tied in with the online service had it launched when they kind of originally envisioned it doing. But now that's dragging on and on and on, and the eShop is just sort of static, with the only change that I can think of being that demo designation. It does feel like maybe that the two will kind of go together a bit. That maybe if you've got an account or something, then you can rate games and earn points for that or something. God knows what.
Well, I'm out of ideas.
Yeah, I'm done. John, you got anything?
I got nothing, man. I haven't had anything the whole podcast, to be honest with you. I'm just making shit up.
Maybe Nintendo should reach out to the former hosts of, or not hosts, but the people in charge of IGN, Nintendo, channel and have them curate or bring to the surface some games. Oh, wait, they're already doing that with Apple.
Bwomp bwomp.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll trim that joke up for you, Guillaume.
It's not a joke. It actually happened.
I know it did.
All the former Nintendo Channel IGN people are working at Apple doing exactly what I just said. Just like trying to, you know, like picking a game and putting it, you know, putting a spotlight on it on the iTunes shop.
And, you know, maybe them being not being in the team that runs the shop, like being a team that sets the rules and signs the contracts, maybe them being just enough steps away gives them enough independence that them doing that doesn't feel like the people who make the business deals are also picking the winners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe Apple just doesn't give a fuck. I'm going to go with the second.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Based on previous experience, I feel like that's the safer answer when dealing with Apple. We do not care. All right. Well, that is going to do it for... We're going to call this the emergency episode of Radio Free Nintendo.
I think we did all right, James.
You can send us your emails to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com.
We don't need your emails. We got this. We got this.
John, we started the show referencing the fact someone asked us if Mario engages in sexual relationships.
I'll tell you what, James. I am no longer going to drop the F-bomb on this show. That's it. I'm laying it out there. I'm cleaning up my act.
So when John next drops the F-bomb on the show, email us at rfn@nintendoworldreport.com to remind us that
happen.
John said he wouldn't do it.
Not gonna
so
happen.
That we can then shame him for doing it.
I mean, it would be a good idea. Some of our listeners are, you know, new dads or new mothers, and they would appreciate being able to listen to our amazing voices while the kids are around.
That is right. I have respect for the family unit, James. Maybe not everybody on this podcast does, but...
And I mean, like, you know, like your rag on how this podcast, this episode started, I think we did fine. Like, we barely have, like, 20 minutes of dead air.
No. I mean, at least consecutively.
That's right. You know, there's no more than 12 seconds of me humming to try to make noise so you guys don't have dead air. God help us, because we sure can't. All right, Greg, what's our sign-off music for this week?
Well, yeah, so a game that I was playing that I didn't get a chance to finish because I've been inching through it at a painful rate is Leighton versus Wright on 3DS. Still haven't got to the end, and I'm not going to talk about it until I get to the end because...
You can do it.
That's what I would play these games for. It's just whatever sort of craziness is going to go off at the conclusion. But it did remind me that we have got a long-standing kind of request on the books for a bit of music from the original Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney from Derek, the Steel Samurai theme, which is very similar to what we did with the Xenoblade 2 pick that you made, James. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got that kind of retro Japanese TV show vibe going on.
It does.
But obviously with a very different instrument set, being like originally a GBA game. But yeah, it's I think this is a lot of fun. And the next week I'm out. Because of the draft, the NFL draft is happening, so I will not be with you.
For the Bills, that's relevant, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we got a lot of picks.
But you guys would be low because you made the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. But we traded up, and we've been busy. With a lot of stuff going on with that, but. Yeah, I'll be gone, so you'll have to hear about whatever the hell happens in Labyrinthia a couple of weeks from now.
I could tell you what happens in Labyrinthia, but you wouldn't believe me anyway.
So I wouldn't have it any other way.
So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Radio Free Nintendo. Remember, if I'm doing the 20 questions, always assume some bullshit. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Later.